So a little boy was sitting with his grandfather, and he looked up at his grandfather and said, "Grandfather, can you make any animal noises?" And the granddad said, "Oh, yeah, no, I'm pretty good at it, actually. Do you want to hear a kookaburra?" So he cups his hands and he goes, and the grandson just looks at his grandfather and goes, "Oh, Grandpa, that was pretty bad. How about a toad? Can you make the noise of a toad?" And the grandpa went, "A toad? I can do a frog, a toad. I guess a toad goes like this. Croak, croak." And the grandson jumped up and he went, "Yes, that's awesome, Grandpa. That's so great. I'm getting a bike." And the grandfather looked at his grandson and said, "What do you mean you're getting a bike?" Grandson said, "It's all right, Grandpa. Grandma said, once you croak it, I'll get a bike." I looked everywhere on the internet. There's not too many death jokes out there. I don't know why. I don't know why that's the case. Death, it isn't really a joke, though, is it? When we face it in our own lives, it's pretty serious, it's pretty dark. But in this second Sunday of Easter, it's a time to celebrate, in fact, even in the face of death. On a serious note, you probably all experienced death in one way or another. Obviously, grandparents, ones that go first, you might have experienced the death of your parents, siblings, children even, husbands, wives, friends. Death finds its way into our lives. Where there's life, there's also death. They go hand in hand. And yet there's something about death that we all know isn't right. It always has that response of repulsion, of knowing that it isn't the way it's supposed to be. Life makes sense, and death is just wrong. This Sunday, though, we want to celebrate that death has been conquered in Jesus Christ. That death isn't the end. That death is a reality, but it is not a finality. We see this coming true for the disciples. I love that story of Thomas. That story that post-resurrection, the women have gone out to the tomb. They've seen Jesus. They know he's alive. But the disciples, they're still questioning. Death is still the reality for them. Jesus died in a most horrific way. Not just a nice way. He didn't just, you know, have a heart attack. But they saw him arrested. Sorry. I knew I was going to make a mess of death today. Jesus, was dragged off. He was innocent, but he was falsely accused. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was nearly dead going out to the cross. The flagellation that he received from those Roman soldiers would have been horrendous. And then to see their Lord and Savior crucified, that horrendous way to die, the shame of it, being up there with sinners, robbers, murderers. Death was so real to them. They had faced it and they knew the reality of it. That was the end of this Jesus that they knew. But those women, they'd come with the good news that Jesus had risen. They run out to the tomb to see the tomb was empty. But what did that mean? What did that really mean? And lo and behold, Jesus, alive, stands with them when they're locked away, living in their fear of death and facing death themselves in those soldiers coming to find them and possibly put them to death as followers of Jesus. And Jesus appears to them. I can't imagine the sensation of that in their lives. I love that little kids' Bible, the disciples are high-fiving and jumping in the air and hooting. I couldn't imagine, you know, I've taken a fair few funerals these days and I've always kind of looked at the casket and thought, oh, what happens if someone poked their heads out or started knocking? What? How would people react to that? Because It'd be crazy, wouldn't it? But Jesus was with the disciples on that day. They witnessed him being alive. It is true. It's not just some made-up story. There were so many witnesses. And yet 2,000 years later, maybe we don't understand the depth and reality of what Jesus being alive actually meant. Because those disciples went from those 11 guys hiding away, well, 10, Thomas wasn't there, 10 guys hiding away, scared for their lives, that their Lord and Savior had been crucified and they were next on the hit list of the Roman people. They would go from being hidden in that room to sharing the good news with the world. It would radiate out from Jerusalem in such a powerful way. Their testimony that they had seen Jesus alive, who had conquered the grave, just exploded to today, where there's over 1 billion Christians in the world, people who believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But I think maybe sometimes we act like Thomas. What's that really mean? What do you mean he's alive? Come on, come off it, you guys. Peter, you're pulling my leg, aren't you? You're always boasting about stuff. Jesus is alive. No way. Not until I see him alive am I going to be able to believe that. Death was the reality for Thomas, wasn't it? He hadn't experienced it. The love, the Jesus alive, his bodily appearance was just some out there story for him at the moment. I think in our lives we can let death reign supreme, because it is. It affects us in deep ways when we do experience the death of a loved one. It hits us for six. Let alone a tragedy. I was sharing with Wilf, you know, I'm pretty happy to go to heaven. I don't mind. But see, if I saw one of my children die in a tragedy, you know, that would hurt. I don't know how I'd deal with that in the strength of God that Jesus would give me in that time. But death hurts. Death hurt for Thomas. And it hurts for us. How can we let Jesus into that space? I think we need texts like we heard today. You had a whole plethora of texts, and there's so many more as you read through the Bible. Paul's great themes, being able to combat death with the life that we have in Jesus Christ, and that Romans 8 reading is a winner. And if you don't have it highlighted, please highlight it in your Bible. Go to it whenever you fear something's bigger than God. Go to it when you face death, when you're unsure about Jesus Christ's power in your life. Read it for yourself. Paul tells us in Romans 6, though, that we have to face death because it's the wages of sin in our lives. Sin means that we have to die. We learn about that in No Shades of Grey. It's not a pleasant thought that we have to face death because of our sin. It's pretty dire. But today, we're not celebrating death. We're celebrating the life that we have in Jesus Christ. In Romans 6:23, Paul says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The good news that Jesus Christ rose from the grave means that there's hope beyond the wages of our sin, that there's hope beyond death. It's just the reality for me. As I was trying to write this sermon, I'm like, yeah, duh. Jesus rose from the grave. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to be with him eternally. It's a 2-second sermon. But I don't know if any of you have experienced a funeral, a non-Christian funeral. There's people out there that don't know this good news. They don't live in the hope of eternal life with Jesus Christ. They have no inkling that Jesus Christ rose from the grave and what that means for their lives. There are people who are not being raised to eternal life, but going to eternal condemnation. That's the sad reality of death. Jesus talks about death in many different ways, but he talks about people are living in death right now when they don't know him and the hope that he has for their lives. We have the good news of Jesus Christ. Thomas, the doubter, came and experienced Jesus in a powerful way, and through his testimony, he was able to bring the good news into the world. We haven't seen Jesus in bodily form, or maybe some of you have. You maybe experienced him in that way. The reality for us, we have to trust the testimony of these disciples that saw Jesus Christ alive. Jesus Christ, who had conquered the grave, who had risen from the dead. We know through their testimony that death isn't the end, that we have hope beyond the grave. Jesus has won that victory, not for just for himself, but for all those who put their trust in him. Jesus said in John 11:25, he's talking to Mary when Lazarus had died. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? If you believe this, you have eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul can boast in that Corinthians reading we had today, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, but thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are victorious over death. That changes everything for us in our living and how we're living right now. We're not people without any hope, who have no future. We are people who have this resurrection living in us. Last week I tried to bring that out, saying that resurrection story is personal. Jesus Christ's victory over sin, death, and the devil is part of our story now when we put our hope and trust in him. It means we go from people who would face death and that would be the end to people who now live eternally in Jesus Christ. We can live in that victory now. But I can tell you, as a pastor, as I meet people who are facing death, when they get a death sentence through cancer, or they're being told that their heart's not going to last too much longer, that death still has a sting, even for Christians. If we forget this victory that we have in Jesus Christ, if we forget that Jesus has prepared a place for us in our Father's heavenly home, if we've been living for the things of this world, then yes, death is going to sting. If we've been living to create our own little security in this world, if we've been trying to shore up our existence by living in our own glory, in our own autonomy, yes, death is going to suck. Death's going to suck. When our children die, when our spouse dies, if that's what we're living for, if we're living to store up those barn houses in that parable Jesus told us about, that wealthy owner that wanted to make a kingdom for himself, if we're living for those kind of things, yes, death will put an end to all those kind of things. Death will have a sting beyond what we can really face. But if we are living for Jesus Christ, if we are living in his resurrection victory, if we are storing up treasures in heaven, then death isn't going to have a sting for us. Death will just mean the next stage, the best stage, the eternal stage of living in the glory of our Heavenly Father. I had an amazing conversation with a young man once when we were talking about heaven. He said, heaven will be eternity with an infinitely amazing God. You know how some people say, well, heaven will get boring? No way. God's amazing. He is infinitely amazing. We get to glorify in him when we go to that heavenly place. But we get to glorify in him right now. And that can never be taken away from us, can it? When we share his love with others, when we bring his love and forgiveness alive, when we let that grace and mercy that we experience in Jesus Christ into the lives of others, that can never be taken away. The hope that we have of eternal life can never be taken away from us. As we face the hard things of life, we're going to hear about it over the next 7 weeks. We know we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. And even the ultimate hardship of life, death, means nothing to us now that we stand secure in what we have in Jesus. I love how Paul writes to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 20 onwards. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I pray that you can all live like that. You're living for Christ, and so that death won't stop you living for Christ. It will just be the next stage of gain in your lives. Death only possesses a threat to the people who are living for the world. But when we live for Christ, that is now and for eternity. So stand courageous. Stand as people who are more than conquerors, even in the face of death. And live in that resurrection victory that Jesus Christ has given you. And remember, we are people who proclaim that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. We confess and we believe it, and it makes all the difference in our lives. So be more than conquerors as you live out this victorious life that you have in Jesus Christ. So I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding guide your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, who has made us more than conquerors, even in the face of death. Amen.